The NTSB wants all Zodiac 601 XLs grounded immediately. The FAA names names in last week's emergency King Air landing. And is Boeing in denial about 737 production cuts? This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, April 15th, 2009. The U.S. National Transportation Safety Board yesterday issued a particularly strong and wide-reaching urgent safety recommendation to the FAA, suggesting that all Zenair Zodiac CH-601XL light sport aircraft be grounded immediately. The board says four accidents in the U.S. and two in Europe, in which the planes broke up in flight, killing a total of 10 people, are suspected to have been caused by aerodynamic flutter. The recommendation urges the FAA to keep the planes on the ground until it can determine the type is no longer susceptible to flutter. The board also criticized the design for control forces which become lighter at higher speeds, creating a tendency for pilots to over-control the aircraft, and for inaccurate airspeed indicators. NTSB says both could lead pilots to inadvertently exceed the airframe's structural limits. And it wasn't just the plane. The board recommends the FAA work with ASTM to adopt LSA standards covering flutter, airspeed indicator accuracy, and control force gradients, and ensure proper documentation in new pilot operating handbooks. You can find more details in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The FAA is praising, and has now identified, two air traffic controllers who helped a passenger aboard a King Air 200 make a safe emergency landing at Southwest Florida International Airport in Fort Myers last week, after the still unidentified pilot for the flight died in his seat during climbout. Of controllers Brian Norton and Dan Favio, tower manager Steve Bushy commented, quote, "I couldn't be more proud of them. We're happy to have a good story, and particularly because the outcome was positive," unquote. The environment aboard the aircraft could not have been much more emotional. The plane was carrying Doug White, his wife, and two teenage daughters back from a funeral for Doug's only brother. When the pilot slumped in his seat, White, a self-described low-time single-engine land pilot, had to take over the complex twin. Controller Brian Norton was called back as he was leaving for the day. Dan Favio, a trainee, called a friend and flight instructor, Carrie Sorensen, who had thousands of hours in the King Air 200, and passed on White's questions to get good answers. Aided by the experienced advice and the near-calm winds, the controllers talked White down to a safe landing. The recording from ATC is very compelling listening. You can hear it in today's Aero News special feature. Boeing has expressed optimism that while production of some other lines will have to be cut to meet falling demand, production of its popular and evergreen 737 narrowbody airliner is safe. Analysts are betting it's not. The Chicago Tribune reports UBS aerospace analyst David Strauss told investors on Monday, quote, "While Boeing is holding its 737 rate steady for now, we believe a 30% to 40% cut is necessary," unquote. Cowan and Company analyst Kai Von Rumor has downgraded Boeing's stock to underperform and agrees the 737 line, quote, "is vulnerable," unquote. Despite the healthy order backlog, he notes a record 177 relatively new single-aisle planes currently sit idle in airplane boneyards, pickled due to capacity cuts by airlines. Boeing's Vicky Ray did leave room for doubt, quote, "we have no plans to reduce our 737 production rates at this time," unquote. But then she hedged a little, quote, "we will continue to analyze our production rates as is prudent for conditions of the market," unquote. There's a new player in the increasingly crowded medium-lift military transport game. In a ceremony held on Tuesday, during the 7th edition of LAD, the Latin American Aero and Defense Trade Fair, Embraer signed a contract with the FAB, the Brazilian Air Force, for the turbofan-powered KC-390 military transport. Embraer CEO Frederico Fleury Curado called the deal a new landmark in the strategic partnership between the company and the service. Quote, "we are convinced that the development of the KC-390 will result in an effective cargo and tanker aircraft for the FAB and shall also become another successful export platform for both Embraer and Brazil," unquote. Embraer first confirmed development at LAD 2007. The KC-390 will be the heaviest aircraft the company has ever developed, able to lift 19 tons of cargo, and the first medium-lift transport to be powered by dual turbofans. It will be capable of in-flight refueling and can also be used to refuel other aircraft. Up next on ANN, Textron's stock price re-enters Earth's atmosphere. EAA will have a seat at the table in North Las Vegas, and NASA starts the stand down of the shuttle fleet. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 15th. Hey, if you're taking your tax return to the post office today, watch out for flying teabags. I'm Paul Plack. The price of Textron stock inflated dramatically last week by rumors of an impending buyout by Middle Eastern investors has lost some air this week as analysts have reevaluated the stock. Dow Jones reports Macquarie Capital analyst Robert Stallard lowered his investment rating to neutral from outperform, saying the risk-reward equation looks less favorable now. Of the potential to realize gains ahead of a potential sale, he added, quote, "We believe this still makes for a volatile ride that many may choose to avoid," unquote. Cowen and Company analyst Kai Von Rumer said the drop in Textron's share price this week has to do with an inability to really know what's happening. Quote, "The company is not commenting, and there really isn't any way to check out this rumor," unquote. He said the focus is returning to Textron's upcoming quarterly results, expected on April 29th. Dow Jones says analysts polled by Thomson Reuters expect earnings of 2 cents a share and revenue of $2.79 billion when that report comes out. And even if the rumor is confirmed, the sale could be complicated from a regulatory standpoint. Textron has a mix of consumer products, civil aviation, and defense operations. The Experimental Aircraft Association is applauding revisions to a controversial proposal by a Nevada community to ban experimental aircraft, flight training, and other so-called high-risk activities from the North Las Vegas airport. Last August, two light planes crashed into homes near the airport within a week of each other. One result was the state bill which would have asked Congress to allow Nevada's Clark County to preempt the FAA and ban some aircraft and activities from the county's airport. EAA says a scaled-back Nevada resolution was reintroduced to the state Senate's Transportation Committee on April 8th, minus the call for local preemption of the FAA. The bill would form a stakeholders group which would include representatives from EAA Chapter 1300, which is based at the airport. It's time to start shutting down NASA's historic space shuttle program. The idea that the U.S. will spend 5 years dependent on Russia for service missions to the International Space Station has brought furrowed brows and blustery rhetoric from Washington politicians, but so far, no additional funding to actually extend the shuttle program. CNET reports NASA managers are meeting this week to plan the wind-down that must begin now in order to assure successful completion of the missions currently on the manifest. A program manager who spoke on condition of anonymity commented, quote, "If we're going to make this thing work, we've got to focus 100% on those 9 flights and make sure we get them done. And that's what we're going to do," unquote. CNET reports the cost of leaving options open for adding more flights would cost NASA $90 million. The Wichita Aero Club in Kansas was formed last year, in part to provide a forum in which local aviation industry leaders could hear presentations on important industry topics. Tuesday, they heard from NTSB Acting Chairman Mark Rosanker. He pointed out that while the overall aviation safety record in the U.S. is among the best in the world, the Bombardier Dash 8 crash in Buffalo earlier this year and the spike in fatalities in on-demand Part 135 air charter operations in 2008 are cause for concern. Quote, "While some of our recommendations call for regulations, I firmly believe that regulation is not the only way to improve safety. I believe that voluntary action by industry, in partnership with the government, is one of the most effective ways to decrease accidents," unquote. As an example, He noted that cockpit audio, video, and data recorders would have been invaluable to investigators looking into last month's crash of a Pilatus PC-12 near Butte, Montana, but they're not required to be installed on that plane. Rossacker closed by calling attention to the NTSB's most wanted list of transportation safety improvements. Quote, "This is the agency's high-priority hit list of what we believe to be the most critical changes needed to reduce transportation accidents and save lives," unquote. The full text of his comments is available under News and Events on the left side of the main page at ntsb.gov. Still ahead, Donnelly and Schwartz may have deflated Lockheed's lobbyists. American Airlines takes delivery of new 737s. And did a royal screw-up cook an RAF turbine? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, April 15th. I'm Paul Plack. Monday's op-ed in the Washington Post by U.S. Air Force Secretary Michael Donnelly and Chief of Staff General Norton Schwartz proclaiming, quote, "This is the time to make the transition from F-22 to F-35 production," unquote, may head off much of the expected political opposition. Reuters reports Lockheed hasn't said publicly what the apparent shift in support will mean for its efforts to convince Congress to keep Raptor production going. The manufacturer stands to benefit either way, since Lockheed is also the prime contractor for the F-35. Former U.S. Air Force Secretary Michael Wynn, who was forced to resign following scandals involving the handling of nuclear materials, told Reuters he believes the Air Force must prepare for large-scale conventional conflicts, even if none appear likely on the horizon. Wynn said that regarding potential future armed conflicts with China or Russia, the decision to go with fewer F-22s shows Donnelly and Schwartz's risk tolerances are, quote, "clearly higher than mine," unquote. American Airlines took delivery Monday of two new Boeing 737-800s, which entered service yesterday. The planes are the first of 76 737s scheduled to arrive through the first quarter of 2011, replacing older MD-80s that cost more to fuel and maintain. CEO Gerard Arpey commented, quote, "With today's economic realities causing many companies, including American, to cut back, we must continue to find ways to control costs and boost revenues. While it's a big decision to spend money on new airplanes, especially in tough times, not doing so could be more expensive in the long run," unquote. He added that the company has been able to secure financing commitments to cover new aircraft scheduled for delivery through late 2010 and continues to pursue additional financing opportunities. The new planes have new features, including larger overhead bins to allow wheeled carry-ons to be loaded wheels first for more space, and AC power outlets to eliminate the need for customers to use power adapters. They'll also eventually all be outfitted with Gogo in-flight Wi-Fi. American is scheduled to report its first quarter financials today, and analysts expect a $400 million loss for the first 3 months of 2009. But some have deeper concerns that even if American has enough liquidity to get past the recession, it may not survive its next round of union contracts. The Wall Street Journal reports that, recession or not, unions are seeing red over $300 million in executive bonuses paid out over the last 3 years and are vowing to be made whole for concessions they made following 9/11. The USDOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reported Americans' labor cost is 3.69 cents per available seat mile as of last September. Even after billions in cuts accepted by the unions in 2003, that's still the highest per-seat cost among the nation's 13 largest carriers, mainly because competitors got even deeper concessions by going through bankruptcy. The unions are undeterred. Pilots at American, already earning salaries near the top of the industry, are demanding a 50% pay raise. The Association of Professional Flight Attendants and the Transport Workers Union of America are also seeking raises for their members at American. Aside from the direct impact on the airline's bottom line, the likelihood of higher labor costs is also costing AMR in higher interest rates when it has to borrow money. Fitch Ratings cut the airline's credit rating last month to CCC, indicating a risky and speculative venture. And finally today, royalty no doubt has its perks, but one downside is your every move makes headlines. As we approach the one-year anniversary of Britain's Prince William's military helicopter landing in his girlfriend's backyard, now comes word the budding search and rescue pilot also overcooked the engine on a fixed-wing training aircraft last year. The Daily Mail reports the incident happened during the prince's 12-week training stint with the Royal Air Force, while shutting down the single Garrett turbine powering his short Takano T-1 trainer. Buckingham Palace denies the story, but Joe Watt, the now retired RAF engineering officer who inspected the aircraft, told the paper, quote, "He flipped the wrong switch on shutdown and overcooked the turbo. I think he switched it back on. The engine tries to start again when it's stopping," unquote. Watt did qualify the story, quote, "He's not the only one. Better pilots than him have done it," unquote. Now, there's an interesting compliment. Was that supposed to make Prince William feel better? That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, you'll hear the remarkable ATC audio from the emergency landing of a King Air 200 last week, when a passenger, who was a low-time pilot with only an airplane single-engine land certificate, had to take the controls after the pilot was fatally incapacitated during climb-out. You'll hear the audio all the way to the ground. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.